He hath filled the hungry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. If you're around a church these days of Pentecost, you know that a great feast is coming just by the buzz of all of the preparation. Already last week, we started the novena to the Holy Ghost, the singing of the ancient hymn, Veni Creator. And these have been 10 days of prayer, first with Mary towards the end of her month, and now with the Sacred Heart for the month of June, and he's the one who sends his own Spirit, God the Holy Ghost, upon us. And then, properly speaking, we have 3 days of preparation for Pentecost. Thursday, the little ones, the confirmands, who will also make their communion tomorrow, they were with me all day for a day of recollection. And then yesterday on Friday, some of the priests and the faithful were working very hard, cleaning and arranging and practicing and setting everything up for the great Pentecost vigil today. And today, we've been keeping watch ever since a little after 8, with the scriptures of the Old Testament and many prayers and the blessing of the baptismal font for this coming year until next Easter. And then finally, for confirmation. But most of all, we've been busy getting ready for the Holy Ghost to come to us, and as he promised, to fill us. On Thursday, that's what I was doing with the little ones, and of course, they have a remarkable capacity to be filled, and they listen, and they always make interesting comments and ask very good questions. Our hours together in the recollection go very quickly indeed. Questions and answers from the catechism, a review of our faith, and then a story or two, and of course, many prayers to get them ready. Confirmation today, First Communion tomorrow. Yesterday, getting the church ready for the vigil of Pentecost, it occurs to me, entails a lot of filling. You may have heard, especially you little ones who are over near the font, you may have heard the sound of water being poured. The water from the first container that holds the holy water for the faithful in the vestibule is poured into the baptismal font, and some of it is poured into the asperges bucket that is used to bless the people with the holy water. And of course, before every Mass, the sacristan or a server has to fill the cruets with water and wine and fill the ciborium, which is Latin for the vessel that holds the food. The ciborium is filled with hosts to be consecrated. But yesterday we had other cruets to fill too, and they were filled with the holy oils, the oils that are used at baptism. They go into the font, that's the oil of catechumens, and then the holy chrism, which the saints say contains the Holy Ghost himself and is used for consecrating or setting aside priests and bishops and Catholics, Christians, when they are baptized at the font. The last thing they have to remember to fill is a little vessel that's called a stock, and that contains the chrism, the holy chrism, that is used for confirmation today. Now, in order to fill all these vessels, what do you need to do? Why, they have to be cleaned out. They have to be emptied, or else there wouldn't be any room, would there? And that's what we're doing most of all these days. We're cleaning out, we're emptying, we're making room for God, the Holy Ghost, our Lord's own Spirit, the third person of the Blessed Trinity. He's the one who is our sanctifier, we say in the Creed tomorrow, and he is the one then who makes us holy. And so we've been praying all week long, come Holy Ghost, fill the hearts of thy faithful. How does he do that? How did he do it at the beginning? Well, you saw it then. Just as you will see the outward sign, the matter of the sacrament of confirmation today. Back then, at Pentecost Sunday, the 120 heard the great wind, and then they saw the great ball of fire and the little tongues, as it were a fire, parted over each one of them as the Holy Ghost came into their souls. The Holy Ghost, in some visible way, but always silently and invisibly, comes to our hearts. Now, who's the first one who was so well prepared and who received the Holy Ghost? If not, do you remember what the angel said to her? We did the Greek, I think, at some point during Lent. Kekare Tomine, he said, Hail, thou full of grace. And Gabriel, on his knees before that little girl, the Virgin Mary, chosen to be the Mother of God. Our Lady is full of grace. We celebrate that in her Immaculate Conception, don't we? Well, then, I've been thinking, someone asked me this question, I think, in Milwaukee at our confirmations there. Did Our Lady receive any more grace on Pentecost? This is a good thought to have, because if you think about this, the third glorious mystery with Our Lady, with an intention to make reparation to her heart, you're doing one of the first Saturday practices which our Lord asks for as a way, really, to help to save souls and to make reparation. Yes, Our Lady received more grace at Pentecost than already she had before, but how is that? Wasn't she already full of grace? As they say in the Greek, as we say in our Hail Mary, yes, indeed she was. Father Faber writes about that in this one of the wonderful hymns we sing usually in August about Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. We sing, Mother of God, he broke thy heart that it might wider be. In the sorrows of the Passion in which Our Lady shared as co-redemptrix, Our Lady's heart was broken so that it might be wider. But then when the Holy Ghost came on Pentecost, the Virgin Mary, who was seated in the midst of the apostles and the disciples, teaching them and praying with them and showing them how, why then the Holy Ghost came, you might say, and he stretched, he enlarged her heart, he increased the capacity of her beautiful, immaculate soul, so that, yes, she could receive even more grace on Pentecost. But for us, alas, there's still plenty of room as we sit in church waiting for something to happen this morning. We just need, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, with Our Lady's help, we just need to clear out some of the stuff that's accumulated in our souls, some of the junk with which it is all blocked so that you'd have a hard time fitting in anything else. Spring cleaning, that's what we did during Lent, isn't it? But we also did that at the beginning of the church year in Advent to prepare our hearts for his coming. And that's what we do by means of prayer. That's what we do when we offer up penances. That's what we do when we examine our conscience and go to confession. We are making room. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, isn't it? Because he's the forgiveness of our sins. And Our Lady is right next to him. She is the spouse of the Holy Ghost. And so she's cleaning us up and lining us up and getting us all ready to receive. This first Saturday, we should stay with Mary in her thoughts and in her prayers to find a place for ourselves. We should think of her who is full of grace, and then suddenly God made more room for there to be more grace and more glory. And they say that if Gabriel were to have returned and come a second time on Pentecost morning, he would have been stupefied, blown away by the brilliance and the beauty of the Blessed Mother on that morning of Pentecost. If you stay close to her, everything has a way of working out. Now, she's praying for us to receive the graces we need today, because there's plenty of grace still left. There's plenty to go around. We need her, though, and we need God, because we cannot do it by ourselves. We have to get emptied out, and that's always a rather difficult and unpleasant process. We get attached to the junk. We're like those people, you know, the TV show about them, and they were hoarders, and they hoarded everything, never threw anything away. And so their lives are all just full of junk and dust and mold, and you get vermin and unpleasant little creatures that come crawling in. And that's all because they just couldn't leave it behind. They couldn't be emptied out. But that's the cost, and that's the price. Holiness is given to us in the last measure. It's not achieved by us. You don't get to be holy and get grace by study or by stern willpower alone. You don't get grace because you're extremely intelligent and you write very well or you're very well spoken. You don't get grace because you're awfully talented intellectually and you'll need to be challenged as time goes on. No. You get grace because you're poor and you know it. You don't get grace because you sit in the high chair in church and wear a tall hat on your head. It's not high office either. It's none of these things. It's some dim recognition from time to time of our own emptiness, of our own poverty, and that we should feel in our hearts hunger for God and for the things of God. And so our Blessed Lady, when she brought dear Jesus in her heart to her cousin Elizabeth, second joyful mystery, the visitation, was filled with the Holy Ghost. And in ecstasy, she sang that God filled us with good things. That is his promise. He fills the hungry with good things. And that's what's happening today and tomorrow. The little birds of children who will come up to be made soldiers today and filled with his Spirit, and then tomorrow will be fed with our Lord's own body and blood. They are symbols of what we're striving to be. Some of the baggage we've picked up over the years, we really do want to just leave that behind, so that there'll be some room. The Holy Ghost made room in Mary one way. He will make room for his coming in us in another way, but not without her always. And thus it is that grace comes to all of you today at her hands and with her prayer. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.